Once again, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Red Pill News and a historic day in the House of Representatives as another round of voting begins for these people coming together trying to determine who will be the next Speaker of the House. Spoiler alert, it's not going to be Kevin McCarthy. Today, we are going to be discussing this in detail. So do me a favor, sit back, relax, grab your popcorn, and get ready because we're going to be right back after this. All right, guys, welcome back. Thank you for sticking around. So the fourth vote for Speaker of the House is currently ongoing, and Kevin McCarthy has already lost. That is four consecutive votes. This is the thing. I hear a lot of people saying, well, if Kevin McCarthy doesn't get Speaker of the House, then Hakeem Jeffries will get Speaker of the House or somebody else will get Speaker of the House. But what everyone seems to fail to realize is that in order to be elected Speaker of the House, you must have a certain number of votes, 218 votes. And right now we've got 20 people who are not voting for Kevin McCarthy, and and Hakeem Jeffries does not have 218 votes himself. So there will be no one. And as long as Kevin McCarthy keeps throwing his hat in the ring, the people who want to vote for Kevin McCarthy will continue to do so. They will keep going up there and doing the exact same thing, expecting a different result. They will leave that vote. They will go backstage. They will wrangle. They will try to get the people who didn't vote for Kevin McCarthy to vote for him the next time. And that can conceivably carry on until Kevin McCarthy gets 218 votes. Right now, Kevin McCarthy is the person in the Republican Party who has the most votes out of the caucus. But if Kevin McCarthy drops out from the Speaker of the House race, then the Republican caucus will have to come to an agreement on someone that they can get 218 votes for. There will be no crossover from the Republican caucus to vote for Hakeem Jeffries because that will be career suicide. I can't believe that anybody in Congress would just want to get it over with so bad that they would cross party lines and vote for an election denier, complete loon like Hakeem Jeffries. This is not something we need to get done quickly. This is something we need to get done right. We need radical change in Washington, D.C., and Kevin McCarthy is not the guy to do it. Now, President Trump came out again today and said some really good conversations took place last night, and now it's time for all of our great Republican House members to vote for Kevin, close the deal, take the victory, and watch Crazy Nancy fly back home to a very broken California, the only speaker in U.S. history to have lost the House twice. Republicans do not turn a great triumph into a giant and embarrassing defeat. It's time to celebrate. You deserve it. Kevin McCarthy will do a good job and maybe even a great job. Just watch. Does anybody remember when President Trump endorsed Mitch McConnell for his position in the Senate? He came out with this post immediately after saying that Kevin McCarthy would make a great speaker. If Republicans are going to fight, we ought to be fighting Mitch McConnell and his domineering China-loving boss. I mean, wife, Coco Chow. The harm they have done to the Republican Party is incalculable. Today, he couldn't be elected dog catcher in Kentucky. Sadly, he only won because of my endorsement. Went up 21 points. Sorry. Now, as much as I love Donald Trump, and you can see I'm drinking out of a Trump mug right now, just because President Trump says something publicly, it doesn't mean that I endorse it or agree with it 100%. As another example, besides, if you need something else besides Mitch McConnell, how many of you out there watching this program right now went out and decided to get the jab because President Trump, while he was in office, said it's a good vaccine. It's something that everybody should get. It's safe and effective. I certainly didn't. I wasn't just going to trust that President Trump said that. I don't believe he's a medical professional, but I believe that he thought he was doing something good and right while he was in office. Liz Wheeler even posted something recently about all the athletes who are dying from vax-induced heart issues. So now today, this has proven to be a hot take. Kevin McCarthy, I still think, is a hot take, and it's not the guy that we need. Now, here's the real kicker. I also don't believe that just because President Trump says something publicly, that it means he believes it. Let's say that Trump, bunch of other good people, knew that Kevin McCarthy was not going to have enough votes for Speaker of the House. Well, if they knew that he was never going to get enough votes for Speaker of the House, but they wanted to maintain some type of an alliance or an allegiance, they would come out and support Kevin McCarthy as Speaker, knowing full well he would never get to 218 votes. So then Kevin McCarthy thinks, well, you had my back. Thank you very much. And President Trump can call in a favor in the future, even though Kevin McCarthy is unable to become Speaker of the House. So at some point, it's going to become obvious to Kevin that he's never going to get those votes, and he's going to take a step back. I actually just saw an article in the Gateway Pundit suggesting it might be time for Kevin McCarthy to step back, and I tend to agree with that. As the fourth vote is still ongoing and Kevin McCarthy already lost, it's becoming more and more painfully obvious that he will never be able to achieve the number of votes. So once he steps back, that allows the Republican caucus to put together an alliance, coalition, if you will, to determine a person that they can agree on. And I'm hoping that that will be an America First person. Now, I've seen a lot of talk about Jim Jordan yesterday. It was Jim Jordan today. People were voting for Representative Donalds. However, Jim Jordan is the chair of the judiciary, or will be the chair of the judiciary in this new session here. And he has not had any interest in becoming Speaker of the House. In the same way that I think good men are called to lead, are forced to lead, I think that we need somebody in the speakership position who is not a megalomaniacal narcissist, somebody who isn't out there stumping for this position and doing everything they can, threatening people. I saw a tweet from Matt Gaetz where he actually said that a colleague of his who chose not to vote for Kevin McCarthy got a threatening text message from Kevin. Let's go ahead and pull that up. I want to see what Matt had to say about that. I meant to have that up here and I totally forgot. All right, so McCarthy is losing it. This is 2 hours ago. He texted one of my colleagues who didn't vote for him. I am ready to fund an endless war. I'm assuming this is in addition to Ukraine. That's a sick burn, I gotta say. Love that, Matt Gaetz. But the fact that Kevin McCarthy, I'm ready to fund an endless war, what's your end game here, Kevin? Is it the power? Is it the prestige? Is it the title of Speaker of the House? Or is it serving your constituents and the people of America? That's who we need leading the House of Representatives, somebody who wants to stump for the American people, somebody who has the best interests of Americans at heart. And I just don't believe that it's Kevin McCarthy. And enough people in the House of Representatives also don't believe that it's Kevin McCarthy. But we have the majority among the Republicans, and the vote will continue to happen over and over and over again until someone can be agreed upon. Yes, it hasn't happened in 100 years, but that doesn't mean it shouldn't happen right now. The other thing that's very important is that whoever is elected Speaker of the House is going to have to come in and get rid of Nancy Pelosi's rules. We're going to have to start fresh, and we're going to have to get back to the constitutional foundations of that body so that we can adequately represent the American people, enact good legislation, good reforms on a number of things that the Democrats have screwed up for us over the years. And we need to be moving in a different direction. Once again, we need radical change in Washington, D.C. Kevin McCarthy represents the establishment. He is a rhino. He represents himself and the lobbying interests of Washington, D.C. And once Kevin McCarthy has taken his name out of the running for Speaker of the House, well, then, of course, Donald Trump is going to get behind whoever is going to be leading that body. He says the single worst person the Republicans could have as Speaker would be Fred Upton. Also worse than a Democrat. Remember, he quit when I wouldn't endorse him. Stone cold loser. Now, the fact that Donald Trump is now talking about the possibility of a different person being Speaker of the House, I think President Trump has already accepted Kevin will not get this job. And it's now time for Kevin to accept that he won't get the job. And at that point, the Republican caucus can come together. They can nominate someone they can all agree on, someone with the traditional values that we're looking for, someone who cares about representing the people of this nation, not someone who cares about representing lobbying interests and increasing their own bottom line. Kevin McCarthy, thank you very much for playing. And just like that, Kevin McCarthy lost another vote. While I was recording, they started the fifth vote for Speaker of the House, and in the first couple of minutes, Kevin McCarthy already has lost it. So now he has failed to secure votes for 2 days in a row. Maybe they're going to go for a sixth vote today. Give it a shot. We'll see what happens. Personally, I think that the humiliating losses for Kevin McCarthy can only extend so far. I see some people on Truth Social saying that if Kevin isn't elected the Speaker of the House, well, then we're going to lose control of the House. And I just simply don't see that as a possibility. I think that in order to be Speaker of the House, you have to secure those votes. So either the Democrats are going to have to go to the Republicans and ask them to vote for Hakeem Jeffries, or the Republicans are going to have to go to the Democrats and ask them to vote for Kevin McCarthy. But right now, this is about ego. This is about power. This is about prestige. And the Democrats don't want to be seen as working with the Republicans. The Republicans certainly don't want to be seen as working with the Democrats to get somebody as horrible as Hakeem Jeffries in there. Kevin McCarthy is going to have to realize at some point that he's not going to be able to secure the votes. And President Trump's endorsement of Kevin McCarthy is, in my opinion, about optics. It's about forming alliances both publicly and privately. Kevin McCarthy does not have the votes. I think President Trump knows he doesn't have the votes. And so he said publicly, yeah, vote for Kevin McCarthy, and knowing full well that Kevin's not going to be able to secure the vote. And then when it comes to the point that Kevin realizes that and steps away, that's when we have the caucus coming together and agreeing on someone who truly will represent the will of the American people and is going to be best for the Republican Party. This isn't about getting it done fast. This is about getting it done right. We have had politics as usual in Washington, D.C. for a very long time. And how good has that worked out for us? Not very good at all. It's been a horrible disaster. This great American experiment has gone down a slippery slope very quickly, and I just don't see Kevin McCarthy as the man to bring us back from the brink of disaster, in a manner of speaking. Obviously, you know, Congress is essentially ceremonial at this point. What are they missing? You know, why is it that they need to get the vote done so quickly? Do they have a whole lot of business that they really need to worry about? How many bills are they going to pass that are actually going to benefit the American people, that are actually going to solve the systemic issues that we have going on here in this country right now? Probably not very many. I think that what they're working on is going to be plans to enrich themselves and their friends in the lobbying industry. I don't think they have much planned to save America, to bring us back from financial ruin, or to put products back on the shelves or lower the price of gas. Maybe eventually this year they'll have a couple of wins. They'll be able to have a press conference and they'll bring it forward and say, hey, look what we've done for you. But if you take a look at the totality of their records, I think you'll agree with me. All right. And now the sixth vote in 2 days for Speaker of the House has begun. Just left Badlands Media with myself, Can Khan, and Patel Patriot. We just had a great conversation, kind of went over my take on this whole thing. But once again, Byron Donalds has been nominated as the competitor for Kevin McCarthy. The woman giving the speech to get people riled up to vote for Kevin really sounded like she was basically just saying, you know, Kevin is the establishment pick. We need to choose him so that we can move on with our business. But the man from Pennsylvania, I believe his last name was Perry, Representative Perry, his speech for Byron Donalds was rousing. And I know Byron Donalds is only in his second term, but there is nothing that says that someone with little to no experience can't do a really good job in Congress or in the office of the presidency. Need I remind you that President Trump had never held elected office before? Now, in the interest of showing you once again who Kevin McCarthy is, I have a couple of little tidbits just to remind you of what's going on here. Congressman Lauren Boebert had given an interview today earlier with Fox News in the break between the votes. And it turns out that she and another from the caucus went to Kevin McCarthy before the first vote and asked him for a compromise that would have given him the speaker position on the very first vote. And Kevin McCarthy smugly rebuked them. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. And the things she was asking for were not particularly radical. Let's go ahead and take a listen to what Lauren Boebert had asked Kevin McCarthy to do so that he could secure that vote on the first try.
Kevin McCarthy's office and presented him a very common sense proposal, a deal that got him 218 votes, the gavel on the first ballot. And he smugly rejected that. And it was very common sense things like putting forward a border security bill, putting forward a term limits bill, having a measure in place to where any member of Congress who offers an amendment to reduce the federal debt, well, that's made in order. And there were so many other things that were common sense and even requests that he had made of us that we presented to him. And right now it is seeming very difficult for Kevin McCarthy to come back around and pick up those votes that I had in hand for him last night.
Okay, so listen to those things that she was requesting. Those are some obvious things that the regular, average, everyday American citizen would like to see happen in Congress. But once again, this is not about representing the American people for Kevin McCarthy. This is about representing his own interests. This is about ensuring that people like Kevin can remain in Congress in perpetuity and continue to pick up a paycheck no matter how horrible a job they do. Congress is one of the only jobs in America where you can continuously fail over and over and over again, not doing the job that you were hired to do, and you just get to continue to pick up your paycheck. There is nothing that happens. I also want to remind you of the treatment of people like my friend J.R. Majewski and, of course, Madison Cawthorn. Let's take a look. And as I was recording that last segment and the sixth vote continued on, Kevin McCarthy lost once again. So now that is the sixth bruising to Kevin McCarthy's ego in the last 2 days. Probably going to be the last vote of the day. And at some point, again, Kevin McCarthy is going to have to admit to himself and to the rest of the caucus that he does not have the votes. And in the interest of America, if he truly cares about America, he's going to have to step back. But don't forget, in J.R. Majewski's 9th district, Ohio's 9th, in this past election in the midterms, Kevin McCarthy and the NRCC promised him millions of dollars in ad buys for radio and television. That money was essential to get J.R. Majewski, a first-time candidate, out in front of the people of that district, and especially to counteract the horrible hit piece that was done with the help of Marcy Kaptur's campaign and her access to government records and the Associated Press, spewing lies about our friend J.R. Majewski, saying that he was guilty of stolen valor. He is not and never was guilty of stolen valor. It was a disgusting claim to make against him. And then don't forget Kevin McCarthy and his treatment of Madison Cawthorn after Madison Cawthorn did that bombshell interview talking about the debauchery present in modern day Washington, D.C. Prostitutes, orgies, cocaine fueled parties. And that isn't just the Democrats. That's people on the Republican side, too. Well, Kevin McCarthy was one who came down heavily on Madison Cawthorn. He actively worked to make sure that Madison would not win his reelection bid. Madison probably could have checked his description of what was going on in Washington, D.C., but I got to give that guy props. He was MAGA all the way. He was 100% America first all the way through, and he spoke the truth. And as a result, he paid the price. Now, I think it's time for Kevin McCarthy to pay the price. There was direct sabotage involved in Madison Cawthorn's reelection campaign, and they could not afford to have him back in Washington speaking the truth and representing the will of the American people. McCarthy's allies attempted to hide that effort to sabotage other MAGA Republicans like my friend J.R. Majewski. And in a report from The Washington Post, it was revealed GOP lobbyist Jeff Miller, who just happens to be one of Kevin McCarthy's closest friends and biggest fundraisers, and Brian O. Walsh, a Republican strategist who works for multiple McCarthy-backed groups, were both involved in an independent effort to oppose Madison Cawthorn as part of a broader project to create a more functioning GOP caucus next year. You can read that as to defeat America First candidates so that they could have a Congress that was made up of people who were loyal instead to Kevin McCarthy and who would toe the rhino line. The allies close to McCarthy have sometimes taken steps to conceal their efforts, as they did in the Cawthorn case, with money passing from top GOP donors through organizations that do not disclose their donors or who have limited public records. And we know that from federal disclosures. Now, the point of Kevin McCarthy and his network of people opposing America First candidates, obviously, it was to weed out anybody who could give them problems in the future. The same thing happened with Mitch McConnell in the Senate. They did not want to jeopardize their control of America, and they believed that by allowing MAGA candidates, America First candidates, into office and keeping people like Madison Cawthorn or incoming people like J.R. Majewski, it would be a challenge to their leadership. And right now, there are some America First people still in Congress. We're seeing those 20 or so odd voters in the House of Representatives that refuse to vote for Kevin McCarthy. They are voting with their conscience. They are going to continue to vote with their conscience. And I sincerely believe that you're not going to see any of those 20 people capitulating and going over to Kevin McCarthy's side. This is going to continue on as long as Kevin McCarthy wants it. And, you know, remember that tweet from Matt Gaetz where he said, I'm willing to fund an endless war. Well, Kevin McCarthy, I wish you were willing to fund an endless effort to save America and to put the interests of Americans first. Fix the problems in this nation. You're going to have the opportunity to do that because you're still going to be in office, but you're going to be representing California and the rest of the caucus. But you're not going to do it in the Speaker of the House. And if you need any more reasons to understand why Kevin McCarthy is not the right man for the job, Joe Biden is now out there chastising the Republican caucus for not getting behind a unified candidate and just getting the job done, getting a Speaker of the House elected so that they can move on with the average everyday business of destroying this nation slowly and methodically, because that's what they've been doing. Let's go ahead and take a look at this clip. And you and I will discuss what the real embarrassment is.
It's not my problem. I just think it's a little embarrassing it's taking so long in the way they're dealing with one another. And the rest of the world's looking. They're looking at, you know, can we get our act together? And what I've focused on is getting things done. And the one thing I'm going down to Kentucky and Ohio today is to demonstrate we can get things done. We passed an enormous bill bipartisanly. And it works, and we're starting off the first major initiative. We're announcing today the $1 billion. This is, we can't be the number one economy in the world unless we have the number one infrastructure in the world.
Oh, the world is watching Joe Biden. But what's most embarrassing for America is that we have a feeble-minded dementia patient pretending in the White House, claiming to have won by the most number of votes of any candidate in history. What's embarrassing is that our election system is so broken and deformed that in Arizona, we still have nearly 5,000 provisional ballots that have not been counted, and the race was called for Carrie Lake's opponent, Katie Hobbs. Of course, she was the one certifying the vote, so I'm not too surprised about that. What's embarrassing is that America is currently being run by organized criminals. And what's most embarrassing is that American heroes, patriots that did nothing on January 6th, but simply protest peacefully and patriotically, are being held without due process in the most disgusting prison conditions that you can imagine. Conditions that would be a violation of the Geneva Convention. Conditions that would be considered war crimes if it was Russia holding our soldiers in those conditions. We have a lot more things to be embarrassed about than the process playing out. This, again, is not the first time multiple votes have had to be taken in order to get to a candidate that people could agree on. Kevin McCarthy is just simply the candidate who can't get enough votes in the current incarnation. And once he steps aside, he will finally be able to hand the reins to someone else. Right now, Kevin McCarthy is holding hostage the House of Representatives because he refuses to step away. The sixth vote has come and gone, and Kevin McCarthy still cannot win. Nothing is going to change tomorrow with the seventh, eighth, and ninth vote. And if they come back again on Thursday and do the 10th, 11th, and 12th vote, it's still not going to go the way Kevin McCarthy wants. So there is nothing embarrassing about trying to get a candidate into that position that will truly represent the will of the American people. That is our republic in action. And I am proud to be witnessing this happening. I'm proud to witness representatives who are willing to vote with their values. I am proud to see that we actually do have a couple of people in power in Washington, D.C., who know what their job description is and who understand how best to enact it. I am very proud and not embarrassed in the slightest to see that this process is finally playing out in the way that it must. And I'm proud to see that congressmen in Washington, D.C. are not simply acting out of fear, acting out of their own selfish self-interests, and they are acting in the best interest of the American people. For all of these things, Joe Biden, I am very proud. For one thing, you, I am embarrassed. All right, my friends, I want to thank everyone for joining me today. That's all I've got for you today. I will be back later tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Badlands Media with myself and Brad Getz for another exciting episode of Altered State. So do me a favor, show up there, and please, if you're watching this video to the end, hit that plus sign, because it helps me get on the Rumble leaderboard and it helps other people know that this is a good video and I've got some things that are worth hearing. So thank you very much for joining me. As always, this has been Red Pill 78. My name is Zach Payne, the Corruption Detector, and this was another edition of Red Pill News. Good luck, everyone, and God bless.